Welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
Episode 175. We're here in season four. And it's not shocking. We got Yuengling.
Yuengling, it's always a standby. It's always, it's old faithful to us. Something we can always lean back on in this time of beer need.
Well, beer need.
We needed beer for the podcast.
We didn't need beer for the podcast.
We didn't have anything, and you brought out the Yuengling.
Which, you go to a lot of ballparks out east, you can get Yuengling, right?
Yeah.
CNN Money put out a report today.
Okay.
What $20 will buy you at a ballpark, right?
All right.
And
any ballpark, or is this like the average ballpark?
Nope, all. Throw out a ballpark. I'll tell you what the 20, and they have it in hot dogs and beers.
Okay.
That's the currency.
All right. Give me Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field. Not going to shock you. Pretty expensive. You can get one 16-ounce beer and two hot dogs for $17.75.
I feel like you said hot dog weird there.
Hot dog.
I feel like you went heavy on the H.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
All right. Florida Marlins.
I can tell you what the Miami Marlins do.
Miami Marlins. Is that a team? That's a thing.
It is. It is. One 20-ounce beer, two hot dogs, $20.
So okay.
Somewhat similar. Yeah. Somewhat similar. There's some teams that you can get a lot. Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Three 14-ounce beers and five hot dogs for $20.
Five what?
Hot dogs.
You're saying it so weird.
I'm not saying
yes,
weird.
Yes, you are. Say what. Arizona, you get three beers and
five hot dogs. I'm not hearing it.
Five hot dogs. We're going to play it back. You're going to hear it again. All right. What about Houston? If I'm going to Houston, they've got a bad team.
They do.
Better and be able
that's
to get
why you get two 14-ounce beers, two hot dogs.
Okay.
The Pittsburgh Pirates, two 16-ounce beers, two hot dogs.
For New York Yankees.
That's when I was like, boy, that's got to be up there.
Yeah.
Two 12-ounce beers and two hot dogs.
That's more beer, though, than at Wrigley.
But listen, the Mets, one 12-ounce beer and two hot dogs.
Oh.
You think
really?
The Yankees would be more expensive, yeah. In my opinion.
Mets are the working man's team there.
Well, then you've got the Cardinals. Hey, you got a brewery right down the street, two 12-ounce beers and two hot dogs.
Milwaukee's best.
Milwaukee, oh yeah, two 16-ounce beers, two hot dogs.
So it seems like pretty much everywhere you're going, you're getting two and two, unless you're going to Arizona, which you're getting a great deal.
Minnesota Twins, one 20-ounce beer and two hot dogs.
Yeah, only one beer? Well, one, 20 ouncer.
It's a 20-ouncer, so you figure you can get a lot. The Rays, two 12-ounce beers, two hot dogs. There's a few on here that I was very surprised at. Toronto Blue Jays, one 14-ounce beer and two hot dogs.
That was shocking for you?
It was.
I feel like Canadian, isn't it more, everything's more expensive over in Canada?
In where?
Canada, that's what they call it.
Right? Well, and it's funny because like the types of beer, whether it's a 12-ounce, 14-ounce, at Citizens Ballpark, one 21-ounce beer. 21-ounce beer and two.
There's a story there.
No kidding.
Freedom beer. We give you 21. That extra ounce is for freedom.
Freedom. The Kansas City Royals, two 16-ounce beers. I mean, it's funny how they broke. L.A., you figure, expensive city.
Yeah.
Two 14-ounce beers, three hot dogs.
More bang for your buck because you might get stabbed in their parking lot.
But the Dodgers, one 16-ounce beer and two hot dogs. I mean, it doesn't make a ton of sense. The winner could be Cincinnati.
What's in Cincinnati?
Three 14-ounce beers and five hot dogs.
Do you get some Skyway chili on those dogs?
You know, you've talked about the Skyway chili. I have yet to experience it. It sounds delightful, though.
It is delightful. That's because it is delightful.
You just started like salivating immediately.
That's actually probably the best deal in baseball because not only are you seeing good baseball with Cincinnati, but you're going to get drunk and you're going to get your belly full of hot dogs too.
Yeah, that's
a pretty good list by CNN. Not known for their reporting there, JD. But you know what? For them, they finally brought it together. They couldn't find the airplane in the ocean, but they could find out all our ballpark prices for us.
You know what? That's the hard-hitting journalism we're bringing here to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. We're telling you where to go to watch baseball and fill your gullet.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than that.
It does not get any better.
But actually, it does. Because we have an interview this week.
We do. We're pretty excited to be joined this week by Matt Whitney. He's doing the... He put out an album. It's his Tan and Blue Recording Company, their very first release.
Kind of a unique thing here.
And it's called Bother Me Tomorrow. It's an indie tribute to Creedence Clearwater Revival. 12 tracks, all indie bands. Great track listing. We're going to get into it about how he got into forming a record label and also how he brought all these bands together to do this great recording.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear from him because I grew up loving, you know, CCR. It was on classic radio back when I was a kid. And I loved it. And then it got a shot in the arm, rejuvenated with the Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah, in a big way. And Fogerty put out like a best of kind of album, but redone versions with modern artists. And it didn't go over too well. I mean, the version with Foo Fighters was pretty good. But as a whole, I was disappointed by Fogerty's release. Well, this release doesn't disappoint. This is a good recording.
Well, and then they had the Creedence Clearwater Revisited.
Oh, they've always been doing that. Yeah. Whole...
I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But this is, and it's, I feel like this album has just about every genre doing a Creedence song. So, great. I look forward to hearing from Matt. Great album and great start to the company.
Yeah, and you're going to hear a couple of the tracks off that as we go into the interview. Very fortunate to be joined this week by Matt Whitney. He's the owner of Tan and Blue Recording Company. You can check them out at tbrecording.com or tanandbluerecordco.bandcamp.com. Thanks for coming on, Matt. We're really excited. You had your first release recently with the indie tribute to Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bothered Me Tomorrow. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm glad to be on with you guys.
Yeah, and you know, I'm curious, because in your liner notes, you wrote that your dad took you to a Fogerty concert in 98, and that was your first concert experience, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So that had to, was your musical upbringing a lot of, like, Fogerty and kind of the classics?
Yeah, I definitely associate classic rock and classic music with growing up. There was a lot of CCR, a lot of Tom Petty, Eric Clapton, stuff like that always playing. And my parents got tickets to that show. My dad ended up taking me, and I had a blast. And then we ended up seeing Fogerty, I think, three or four more times after that, just throughout the years.
Nice. So you do this album. You put this together, this collaboration. How did this go from idea to reality for you?
Well, I'd actually been kicking the idea around for a couple years, and about 8 years ago, my friend Wayne and I started our own label called Pacific Ridge Records.
Mm-hmm.
And during my time there with him, we did a tribute to Blink-182.
Okay.
I helped him out with that. And it was a lot of fun. You know, he ended up carrying on with the label, and I kind of went away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always in the back of my mind, like an itch I had to scratch kind of thing.
And did you know that you wanted to do a Creedence tribute album?
Yeah, because I was playing around with different ideas, and it was either CCR or it was going to be Tom Petty.
Oh, nice.
Because I really like, you know, kind of modern takes on classic rock songs.
Sure.
And there was already actually Wayne at Pacific Ridge had already done a Tom Petty one. So CCR was like the next best thing for me.
And, you know, it's pretty ambitious to do, I think, to especially for your first release with this record company, to do a tribute album, because you're not just dealing with one band, you're dealing with 12 different bands. How did you recruit these bands?
Yeah, I definitely bit off a lot more than I could chew. Well, I basically had a wish list of bands that included Drag the River, Park, Rachel Cantu, obviously the guys from Limbeck.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically started out with those and just sent out an email, sent out a lot of emails with my intent. You know, I wanted to pay tribute to CCR, and I wanted to, you know, find as many bands as I could. So I started with my wish list, and then Wayne and I are still good friends, so I went to him, see if he was working with any bands that might want to come on board. And then a couple of the bands I'm good friends with, I've just known for a long time, and they kind of jumped at the opportunity to get on board. And then we got a band like We Shot the Moon, who was actually trying to fund their own Kickstarter for a new album.
Sure.
And I just emailed him at the right time and said, you know, I'll contribute to your Kickstarter if you appear on my album.
Nice little quid pro quo.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
There.
Were you surprised about the reception you got from these bands?
Well, everyone that ended up on board they were on board right away.
Yeah.
They were just, yes, I want to do that. Picked out their song, and so it was very exciting. It was really exciting.
How did Drag the River come about getting on this album? Did you just email them, or?
Yeah, basically, with Drag the River, I had been pitching Drag the River to my friend Wayne for a long time to get on his compilation, and so he had gotten in touch with them, but they never kind of found. They were never really into the bands he was paying tribute to.
Okay.
So when I started doing this one, I asked for their contact info, because he got the vibe that they're more down to do classic rock songs.
Yeah.
And so I got a hold of his email, and sent him an email, and they answered me right away, and they're like, oh yeah, we're totally on board. And that was just super exciting. And we kept getting closer and closer to recording with Drag the River, but stuff kept coming up, like touring, and at one point they had like a family emergency.
Mm-hmm.
and so they kind of dropped off, and then in January, as the songs were all, I had a deadline at the end of January, I hit him up like a one last effort and said, you know, I still got a spot for you guys if you want it.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll record next week, and then sure enough they did and just got me the track. So
nice. Well, how
really cool.
How much of a say did you have in what tracks they were going to play?
I left it up to each band. I figured, you know, if I wanted to get like a really passionate cover, then just let them choose the song they wanted.
Did you have a couple groups doing the same song, so you had to go back and go, hey, whoa, you already got that?
No, it was kind of like first come, first serve.
Sure.
So once a band, you know, picked one out, in the next few emails, you know, I would include that in the email, like, oh, you can't choose this song or this song. It's already taken.
Yeah. Were there any specific songs that you were just, I got to make sure somebody has this or somebody's got to put this on the album?
That kind of blew me away.
Well, any of the songs that you're like, this must be, yeah, as a fan, any of the songs that you were like, I hope somebody does this one, or somebody's got to put, you know, Up Around the Bend on this album, or else it's not going to be complete. You know, what was that for you?
You know, it's funny you say that, because, yeah, there's a couple songs I was really hoping for, one being Green River and another one being Lodi. Those are two of my all-time favorite TCR, and I tried to push it on a couple bands. But those end up just not happening. But, I mean, I wasn't that upset about it.
It just means Volume 2 is coming, right?
Yeah, there you go. And the when I would tell people about it, everyone would ask about CZQ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, no, it's not going to be on there either. But, you know, it worked out.
So, okay, you had to get all these people, and looking at the CD, they recorded everywhere. I mean, it wasn't just you had a studio and bringing everybody in. They recorded everywhere. So did you have to coordinate that for them, or how'd that work?
Yes, no. Once they decided on a song, and we kind of negotiated a budget for recording,
mm-hmm.
I pretty much left it up to them to find a studio, you know, to their liking, that was obviously within the budget. And every band did a really good job at that. No one, there was no going over on any of the songs.
Yeah.
And then quite a few, or not quite a few, but a handful of the artists actually recorded it themselves.
Oh, okay.
In their home studios or their basement. The Bad News Bears cover, that guy Mike, he played all the instruments and he recorded the whole thing in his basement.
Wow.
It just turned out amazing. You know, it was interesting getting some of the covers back, the ones that were in studios and the ones that were home recorded. Like, you couldn't really tell the difference.
Having this be your first release from Tan and Blue, what was the biggest challenge? And you don't have to throw out any names or band names, but biggest challenge that surprised you going into this endeavor?
That's a good question.
There are only good questions here. Only good questions.
You guys are professionals. You know, it was just wrangling in 12 different acts, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
It was the back and forth, you know, checking up, seeing if the studio time was booked, getting the payments out, and then just really trying to get all these songs in. You know, I gave everyone about 5 months, and it still came right down to the wire.
Yeah.
So that was and I was even, you know, warned about that, but I guess, yeah, that was probably the most stressful part, is wrangling in 12 different acts.
Do you have any specific songs on this album that, that's your favorite one, hands down, you'll always go back to that, or do you listen to the whole album all the way through?
Well, I get asked that a lot, and I always tell people they're like my 12 children now, because it took me 9 months to do it. So it's really hard to pick a certain song, but... definitely the Dakota Drive track that finishes the album, just because it was one of the first that I got back,
mm-hmm.
and it just blew me away, the incredible vocals on it, and they really took the song and made it their own, and I just remember getting it like super late at night, and I'm playing it, and it was so good. And it felt right. It felt like all the work I'd been doing was really now coming together.
Yeah.
And it just reinvigorated me to, you know, continue and finish with the album and stuff like that. So that track does mean a lot to me. And it's also my mom's favorite CCR song.
Oh.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. So is that why you put it, is that why you ordered the album? So that would kind of be the finisher? Because that was the first one that you heard, and that was the, I guess, the big moment for you?
Yeah. I thought it closed out the album really nicely. That's pretty much why.
Well, are there any future projects on the horizon for Tan and Blue? Any would you like to do any other indie tribute albums?
I had such a good time doing this one. I definitely want to do perhaps another tribute album in the future. But I think more immediately, I'm going to be working with a couple bands exclusive on, you know, exclusive individual releases.
Okay.
Nice. Anything you can preview for us?
A band that appears on the album Sandbar, they do Down on the Corner.
Mm-hmm.
They're a local San Diego band, and so we've been in talks to do some kind of release, like an EP or some singles or something like that.
Okay.
They have a really cool, almost Vampire Weekend kind of sound to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also Dakota Drive, actually, he emailed me the other day saying he'd been working on a bunch of new music and was looking for an outlet. And I said, I said I would get to it because I've still been with this album, but I definitely want to do something with them again because I'm a huge fan.
As far as this album, how can people get it?
Oh, it's everywhere now. If people want a physical copy, the best place to go right now is through my Bandcamp page, and I can send it to them directly. But the digital copy is on Bandcamp, but it's also on Amazon, iTunes, and Spotify.
Nice.
Outstanding. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter, TB Recording Co. You can also go to the website tannandbluerecords.com or tannandbluerecordingco.bandcamp.com. Thank you so much for joining us this week, Matt.
Oh, thank you guys. Oh, I just wanted to compliment you guys on your Limbeck interview.
Oh, thanks.
So awesome. It was so awesome to hear from them again and check in with the band. And they're my favorite band also, so it was really cool. My back door.
Just got home from Illinois, locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in, pretty soon I'm singing. Do-do-do, looking out my back door. There's a giant doing cartwheels, a statue wearing high heels. Look at all the happy creatures dancing on the lawn. A dinosaur Victrola listening to Buck Owens. Do, 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 looking out my back door. Tambourines and elephants are playing in the band. Won't you take a ride on the lion spoon? Do, 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 wondrous apparition provided by magician. Do, 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 looking out my back door.
Bobby, it's time for our six-pack of questions. But first, we need to know who's going to go first.
Yep.
And that's probably going to be you.
That's probably going to be me. I'll go first. I'll take it. All right?
You know, it's about time. It's about time. And second, we need music, and we should start that now.
JD, we just heard about the compilation, this CCR compilation. I want to know if you are starting a record company up.
Yes.
and you're going to put out an indie compilation covering a great artist from the past. Who are you going to cover?
Ooh, that is tough, because some of those greats, you don't want to try to replicate it.
Don't want to mess with it?
Initially, I'd say Boston, but to recreate like what they do and that sound,
but you
and what Brad Delp did. It's re-envisioning
it. You're not just trying to do word for word. You got to bring your own to it.
No, I really liked when years and years ago, MTV did the Icon with Metallica, and Korn did a song.
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit did a song. I mean, there's a lot of great music that came through there. It's hard to say Limp Bizkit and great music in the same set.
That doesn't go.
It doesn't go there. I'd say Soundgarden. People know my love of Soundgarden, but I'd like to hear those songs re-envisioned, because I think different vocals would be interesting to hear. Kim Thal's guitar is amazing, and how would that be re-envisioned? So that's what I'm going with.
Good choice. All right.
Manny,
not the best choice, but a good choice.
Manny Ramirez. He's a Cub now.
Shaking my head.
He's a Cub.
Iowa Cubs, yeah.
AAA affiliate in
Gotta
Des Moines.
Get the ballpark somehow,
Cubs.
Right?
Yeah, they never have a problem. Yeah, it's a great game. Go over to Des Moines sometime and check out the iCubs.
They got a good stadium there, too.
Yeah, it's and they get a crowd. Mm-hmm. It is a great time. But he signs with the Cubs as a player coach.
Sure.
Big mistake?
No, I don't see what the harm is in it. It's bringing a little publicity to it, but...
Stained. Painted.
So, that was years ago. So if he does anything for you, great.
That
if he
was
does...
years ago? It was years ago, but it's still in recent memory of...
Sure.
Are
you bringing him on because he's still a great baseball player? No. If there's anything left in the tank, great. You get something and maybe there's a little bit of success for either the Iowa Cubs or... I can't see him being brought up to the Chicago Cubs.
If you're the Cubs organization, why would you go for Manny Ramirez instead of Sammy Sosa?
Because you've already strained relations with Sammy Sosa.
Perfect way to heal.
I don't know that Sammy Sosa can teach you anything, and I don't know that Manny Ramirez can teach you anything. I mean, the Cardinals did this with Mark McGwire a few years ago. They brought him in as a hitting consultant, and it worked. He doesn't work for them anymore, but...
Right.
That worked out. So give Manny Ramirez a shot, I guess, and see what he's all about. There's clearly a reason why they brought him in. And I don't think it was just for publicity, because they do already have a good enough draw. I don't know what that is yet. I think we're going to find out in the coming 2 months what that is. JD, the Indy 500 was this past Sunday, as it is always on Memorial Day weekend. Did you watch? That's not my question. I'm just asking.
I had family commitments, so I did not.
Okay. As a Midwest guy, as somebody from Indiana, I always watch it. I always make a note to watch parts of it. Viewership last year was at an all-time low with 3.7 rating. It was up this year to about a 4.0 rating is what they're looking at. And they're looking at it as an okay success. Compare that to Daytona last year, which drew a 9.9 rating.
Open wheel racing
is
just not here.
Why is IndyCar racing, why has it fallen so far, and is there ever going to be a way back for it?
Well, it's NASCAR is an American thing. From the roots of North Carolina and throughout the Southeast through the Midwest. I mean, it is a kind of a piece of Americana. Open wheel racing is very, very much a European thing. To me, it's more exciting, faster speeds, more interesting tracks, but it has it's overseas. It gets noticed here at the Indy 500, and that's about it. It reminds me a little bit of track and field. Track and field is huge overseas, but people here don't care about it until every 4 years.
Yeah.
It just isn't our thing. So I don't think it'll come back to where it used to be before NASCAR really took off huge. And NASCAR did it right. They got the TV contracts early on, so you couldn't turn on a TV on Sunday without seeing NASCAR and then, all the other, series that goes along with it. So they did it right. And IndyCar, it's too far behind. I don't think it's going to catch up. Bobby, Spider-Man 2, Amazing Spider-Man 2, I should say, is coming out. X-Men, new X-Men is coming out. Yep. You like every other week a superhero movie is coming out? Are you sick of them?
I haven't gone to the theater to see a superhero movie in a long time. I mean, that's your answer right there.
Yeah.
And I liked Iron Man a lot, but there's so many of them right now that none of them, and so many that have been redone numerous times over the past decade. So, yeah, it's time to ease up, get some different ideas going on out there. Have Seth MacFarlane write a movie every year, which is, it looks like that's what's going to happen now, is he's going to have a new movie every year.
You know what? I want to see them all.
He has a network, and now he's going to have a bunch of movies. Good for him. JD, when you think Vegas X, Carrot Top, Celine Dion,
Wayne Newton,
David Copperfield, recently Britney Spears has been there, she's still there, Boys to Men, Shania Twain is playing there.
Yep.
And right now, doing a residency at the Hard Rock, Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses is in Vegas.
But is it?
Well, the lead singer of Guns N' Roses is in Vegas.
He's about done. He's about to retire, he said.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's about to be done.
Maybe after this Vegas run, he's going to have enough money saved up for another 6 months. Jeez. And then he'll have to do another Vegas run after that.
Ridiculous.
Which washed-up rock band is going to show up next on the Vegas Strip doing 2 weeks or 1 month residencies?
And it's got to be a bigger one. Like, you can't go Warrant or
yeah.
Rats.
You can't bring that in after Guns N' Roses.
Or Skid Row. You can't do that. I could see Aerosmith doing it.
Are you ragging on Skid Row?
I love me some 18 in Life. But no, I see Aerosmith doing that because, they're all really old. And, something like that.
Jovi would be Atlantic City. Jovi couldn't go over.
No,
Vegas. Yeah,
no.
That would be selling out.
Yeah, yeah. He's totally Atlantic City. Bruce Springsteen, he's definitely Atlantic City.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going Aerosmith. it's been going back and forth, and this could be a longer discussion. But the Ricketts family came out and said we're going to build anyway. We're going to do this. Screw the rooftop owners. Mm-hmm. We're renovating the stadium. Obviously, we've known from the start this whole thing's going to be decided in the courts. My question for you, it's pretty much a yes or no question. Will renovation happen at Wrigley in 2014?
Yeah. In 2014?
In 2014.
Well, that would be from October to December. You're giving me a three-month window of time?
They could still do stuff outside, prep outside, because keep in mind, this renovation isn't just the stadium, it's around the stadium. So they could start.
They will definitely start the process in 2014, because if nothing else, if they are really coming to saying we're not afraid of a fight in court, then they're gonna start putting stuff out there to show they're not afraid of a fight. They're going to put the trucks out there. They're going to set up whatever barriers they want to set up, get ready to build that. So yes, it will happen in 2014. Absolutely.
Okay.
JD, that brings us close to the station.
Close to the station.
JD, when we come back, it's going to be Last Call, One Stop Away. Just a teaser right here. And it's a short teaser because there's like 10 seconds between now and when we start the next
segment. Very short teaser.
But here it is. I'm going to say something to you that I've never said to another person in my life. Coming up. JD, what a tease. We're back. Last call, one stop away.
From that big, long break.
From that very long break. Enough for you to take a sip of your beer and get ready. JD, lick me, I'm delicious. Has an edible mist machine. That's a company. Lick Me, I'm Delicious is an England-based company.
Whew! It got awkward here in Studio 714. Wow.
It's a very dangerous name they have.
Yes.
Lick Me, I'm Delicious put out a number of weird, innovative products. Okay. One of them is called the Edible Mist Machine. And this is a way for you right now to eat bacon with zero calories, zero regret.
Mm.
What it is
whoa,
a...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've never regretted eating bacon. I mean, I think that needs to be out there.
Not once has there ever been a regret.
No.
Even like, I've seen you go through like an entire package of bacon. No regrets after that. No belly regrets.
I have split a pound of bacon.
Yeah.
And not blinked. And yeah, no regrets whatsoever.
Okay.
Delightful.
Well, the Edible Mist Machine has right now 200.
Whoa, that's different.
200 flavored vapors. And I emailed the company trying to get a list of all of them. At press time, JD, we did not have a list.
Okay.
But some of the flavors that they do have that we know, confirmed flavors, lobster, bacon, and popcorn. It gives you the flavor of it by misting it, and you kind of suck it through a straw. As
like a hookah thing?
Like a hookah, pretty much.
Okay.
And it gives you the flavor without ingesting the food, which to me just kind of sounds like you'd be sad after inhaling a bunch of mist of bacon. You'd be like, I want
bacon.
I just want that in my stomach.
Yes.
But anyways, this is how much it's going to cost you right now. $8,400 for one of their misting machines. They're saying that they're great at parties if you want to have a party and you can have people trying all these different types of flavors. But $8,400 to try misted bacon versus, I think, $325 for a package of Oscar Mayer at the store.
I think Victoria's Secret came up with this for their models so they wouldn't eat. You know, oh, here's some food, but it's not really.
Here's lobster.
Oh, yeah.
Lobster.
Oh, it's a grilled cheese sandwich. You haven't had one of those in 10 years. Still not having one. Just suck on this mist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's horrible. That is horrible.
What do you got for me?
Bobby, mine came from Tokyo, and there's a brand new Japanese cookie. I've never seen anything marketed this way, and they're not subtle. They're the makers of the F-Cup cookies. F-Cup cookies.
All right.
They claim women who eat them will see an increase in breast size.
Hey, old river.
Yeah, there it is. The cookies contain this plant extract from Thailand, and women are supposed to eat 2 cookies a day in order to see the results, according to the product's website. This ingredient is also found in edible breast enhancer called Bust Up Gum.
Gum, a chewing gum.
Yeah, cookies, they come in 2 flavors, soy milk or pralines and chocolate. Each one of them is 70 calories, so it's more calories than sucking misted bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And there are numerous foods that have this ingredient. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the ingredient.
Don't go for it.
I'm not even going to go. But it does show that ingestion changes breast size, this nutrition expert told the Daily Mail. Even concentrated doses haven't been shown to do anything, although eating several biscuits can lead to weight gain that goes with it.
There you go.
So they're gaining weight. You're naturally going to gain the fatty tissue in your breasticles.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you're wondering, an F cup in Japan is similar to a double D cup in the U.S.
Hmm.
I know you're trying to figure that one out.
Well, I can tell you this right now. Marketing slogan for them. Steal from the England company. Lick me, I'm delicious.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
That's free marketing advice for them right now.
Okay. Well, and then, I mean, who are you going to have as a spokesman? You know, Chris Christie, Bill Parcells? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think that's the people that are trying to enlarge their breasts,
no,
JD.
No, what? They're eating cookies.
They are enjoying their fair share of cookies.
Well, hey, it has been fun. Thank you, Matthew, for joining us and
absolutely.
Check out the album.
Yeah, Bother Me Tomorrow, an indie tribute to Creedence Clearwater Revival. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on their the Tannen Blues Company website. And you can also listen to it on Spotify, too.
Oh, great stuff. Great stuff. And you can always check us out on Twitter at @2beersin. Where can they find us on Facebook?
You can find us just by searching 20 Minutes 2 Beers In on Facebook. Email the podcast 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com. We will see you next week, everybody. Lick Me, I'm Delicious.